Talk Live with Psychics Online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudients can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Welcome, everybody. This is StarsCast, also known as Natalie. We have a real interesting topic to discuss tonight. I have Stars Maya Moon and Stars James with me. It's about indigo, crystal children, and super psychics. But basically, it starts off, if you read the intro when you came in the room, or you will, it's a little bit that they talk about Edgar Cayce, and I've always known him as a sleeping prophet, but he was a world-renowned healer and intuitive, and he predicted that around 1998 to early 2010, there would be human beings born on this planet with unique and specific gifts. And he indicated that these children and adults would have unique spiritual gifts and would help the human race. Well, you know, I really can kind of apply to this just by when I started Planet Stars was in 1998. And I had a tremendous influx of people apply, and they were just, and that kind of works out when you think about it, because that's when the internet for, you know, a lot of the sites that are out there started, just around that time, so it's kind of interesting. But anyways, I'm kind of anxious to hear about this, and I'm sure everybody else is, so I'm going to have Stars James start the show, and the room is filling up nicely. I love it. So, James, if you will, you can go ahead and start the topic.
Thank you, Natalie, and I am actually really excited about this topic as well. First, I want to welcome everybody to the show. Thank you so much for listening in. I will be honest, this is a particular topic that I did not have a lot of information about, that I just really didn't, even though, you know, I do this as a career, you know, I'm an intuitive, but this was an area that I just really hadn't delved into. I'm from the Christian tradition, ordained Christian minister, and so to me, when I started reading about this, I was getting excited about it because it is a very effective way of giving language to realities that are taking place on our planet today. And really, that's how I look at this particular topic, even though there are many from Edgar Cayce and, you know, some other psychics and intuitives that have helped this particular message evolve. To me, you know, when I looked at this, I looked at it as, you know, this is giving language to something that is actually taking place and is you know, a progressive evolution of our planet. So I'm really, really excited about, you know, kind of delving into this. It's my notes are a little bit different than what the actual blurb was, if you read that, because when I started getting into this and kind of doing a little bit of research and then contemplating these things and asking the angels and my guides about them, my energy kind of flowed more towards indigo children, crystal children, rainbow children, and then a little bit of the super psychics stuff. That was where a lot of my main focus was, because that's where I really saw, not just in the spiritual sense, but I could even see traits of these three in people that I know and, you know, things that are manifesting already on the planet. And I think that actually, you know, Edgar Cayce said, what did he say, around 1998? I actually feel personally that this started before then, like probably in the mid to early 80s, these people manifesting, and we're starting to see them coming into adulthood, and we'll talk about the implication that that's having on the planet even now, because I really feel, especially with the indigos, we can see the implication of these people incarnating, or these children incarnating on the planet right now, and as they reach adulthood. And to me, as a Christian and ordained in the Christian ministry, it really makes sense, too, with the idea of the 144,000 and the transition that takes place. Now, I'm not personally, my eschatology is not that, you know, the world's going to end or that calamity is going to happen. I really feel as though the shift in what happens on the planet personally, and this is, again, my personal opinion and what I have gathered through my own, you know, centering, meditation, connection to spirit type thing, is that we are entering into, it will be a consciousness shift. That's what we're entering into, coming into a greater state of harmony with the planet and that sort of thing. So that's kind of my introduction. I don't want to jump into each of those categories quite yet, but instead I will go ahead and pass it over to Maya. Maya, what's your perspective on kind of like the general subject or the subject as a whole?
Okay, thanks, James. And first, of course, I want to welcome all of our listeners. We are so thrilled to have you. If this is your first time, I know that no matter the topic, you will really enjoy the discussions that we have and what we have to share. And quickly, I'd like to let everyone know that the chat room is open if you'd like one question or a mini reading. I know we have others, but I know Stars Priestess Candy and Stars Aeneas is in there. And if you'd like to call in because you have a comment, we don't do the readings on air, but if you have a comment, we really enjoy and have, from time to time have gotten listeners that call in and just, you know, share some general information. And if you'd like to do that, I'll remind you that the phone number is 347-838-9736. So my synopsis, so to speak, on this would be I tend to agree with James that I believe that this evolution, if you will, started a little bit earlier than 1998. And that one thing that I want to say is the indigo, the crystal, even the star, I see those all relative or relevant to each other. Their influences are a little bit differently. I see, and again, this is just what I'm shown, taught, or what my guides show me, what I've learned, so on and so forth. So it does not encompass all views necessarily. And I believe that forms of that, if you want to say those specific traits, that have been with us probably throughout the generations. However, there has been what I would call a very proactive movement where these types of children or persons are being brought forward, brought into the world, you know, into a human vessel or human body, for specific purposes. One thing that I will quickly mention, obviously every generation is different, so that goes without saying. I mean, you know, we have the flower child and all that. But aside from that, I have kind of an advantage of, I have a 36-year-old son and I have an 18-year-old son. And that's 18 years difference, so that's a substantial difference. And setting aside what I would consider the normal, you know, transitions of just time, technology, and the way the world is, I really have to say that my exposure to my youngest, he was born in 1996. So I know for a fact, because of my experiences with him, not just him, but the experiences that I've had with many of his friends, being very involved in his school, even back in grade school, kindergarten, first grade. So I'm talking about young children. I have found that it was a lot of different energies that when my first son, who was born in 79, again, setting aside what we would consider obvious, you know, different times, different ways, This is a very spiritual influence, and something that, especially I suppose for someone being in the profession, is something that I took note of and noticed there were quite a bit of differences. So I really do believe that there is a collective or a universal purpose being served. And so you might, the way that I would wrap this up is to say that these gifted, if you will, I don't want to use the word special because then that implies that someone is not special, and we're all very special. But these gifted, or these, you know, if we want to term them indigo, crystal, as far as the super psychics, I don't really resonate with that particular term, but star, and then there's a few other ones. I really feel that there is a lot of truth to that, that it is something that we are feeling and we are seeing, and that these generations, and I don't feel either that it's just the generation, again, my son born in 96, and then I have a grandson who was born in 2010 and being exposed, again, not just to him, but to his friend, his set of peers, and so on. It's also a different feeling, not with everyone, but just with some. So overall, I do feel that there is something going on. So where, let's say, 40 years ago, just as kind of an example of how I set up my value system or belief system or how I would share that, let's say 40 years ago, maybe 1 out of 100 would fall into one of these categories. I would say that in the generations beginning, I agree with James completely, starting in the early 90s and maybe even the late 80s, somewhere around there, and then growing, I would say that now the percentage is more 30 to maybe even 40 out of 100. So I'm definitely, my guides are definitely showing me that there is a growth and an increase, and it's developing and influencing. And so with that, I'll go ahead and turn it back to James. It was a little longer than I actually intended, but
It was great. And there were a couple things that you said, like when you were talking about universal purpose to for these people to incarnate, or for these children to incarnate on the planet. Absolutely. I mean, I really feel like what is going on with this is, it's really about the evolution of our planet, and the evolution that is taking place on our planet is much more about consciousness than physical, attributes. These different groups of people or children, and some of them are not children anymore, especially with the indigo population. It's really about the evolution of consciousness on this planet, and that, these children have incarnated at this time to bring us into the next evolutionary phase. At least that's what I sense with this situation. That's what I feel, even in reading, what is said about them. It certainly makes sense. And when it comes to, I want to start with the indigo children, because obviously those are the, from what I've read and from kind of my own understanding, they have incarnated first on the planet. And first of all, I want to give a caveat to that. All of these categories, I feel, have been around for generations and generations. The reason why they are important to us now is because of the shift that is taking place on a planetary level. There have been what I would call forerunners to these particular groups of people to change the perspective related to our own reality. And really, I feel as though a lot of it is about reconnecting to the planet, because we are so in our, we're so caught up in things like media and, that what's going on, we've actually separated ourselves from the planet, and we don't realize that we're an integral part, and that being here is actually a good thing. We were supposed to be here. It's important. So I want to go into the indigo. I want to first bring in the super psychics, because I don't want to talk about them for very long. When I was reading about the super psychics, to me, they are just indigo children. Like, I didn't see a lot of characteristics that are very different between the two. Now, super psychics, the things that I've read, super psychics have been incarnating in the Asian countries, the Eastern countries, and then indigos have been incarnating in the Western countries. to me, they're exactly the same. The reason why the in the Eastern countries, their incarnation is expressing itself a bit differently is because traditionally and throughout history, there has been a little bit more repression in a lot of those areas, especially related to, you know, in China, related to religion and spirituality. And so I think that the manifestation of the gifts are coming out a little different. Does that make sense to you, Maya? About all I want to say about the super psychics.
Yes, I would say that makes sense, yes.
Okay. Because that's really what I was feeling when I was doing it. And like I said, I have like maybe two notes. It was Eastern countries, and they have very pronounced gifts, much more so than the Indigo children. And I think it's because of the type of society that is, you know, that they were incarnated into. I think that's why they're different. So now I want to talk a little bit about Indigo children. And I loved researching this because I can actually see the patterns in society with these attributes. So Indigo children oftentimes very empathic and curious, very strong-willed, and that's because their underlining purpose is to help the globe. It helps shift the conscious perception of what's going on the globe to make us more aware of what's going on. Oftentimes, these children are perceived to be, you know, oddballs or weird, kind of outside of, normal cultural environments. And I think with all of these, that's kind of, you know, probably the case. This is the one thing that I read about them that I believe is very true from my own observation of, you know, this generation, is that they're innately and subconsciously spiritual, meaning that they don't necessarily have to have a religion to experience and express their spiritual connection. And oftentimes when they incarnate, you know, if they incarnate into a family, they will be a little bit in opposition with the religion, with the religious attributes, not necessarily spirituality associated with the religion, but the religious attributes. Inherently intuitive, and I think that is more and more common with the whole generation. But, you know, of course, there are specific individuals that are incarnating with these gifts as well to work as a catalyst in the evolutionary process of our planet. Some people, and this is just from what I've read, and actually from some of the people that I know, some of the children that I know that are Indigo children, is that they can sometimes be rigid or seem rigid because they are part of their goal on our planet is to get rid of this control-based paradigm that, you know, governments that are in control or religions that are, you know, in control of our thoughts and our opinions. They are usually counter to media as well, where they, you know, they usually take a different perspective than the cultural perspective as a whole. And I really feel as though a lot of what's going on with social justice movements all over the planet are because of these, you know, these Indigo children kind of working as forerunners for the next two groups that are going to incarnate on the planet. So they're really, you know, in terms of the resistance movements or protest movements, a lot of that I feel as though is coming to this planet as a result of the Indigo movement. And that's what I have to say about Indigo children. What are your perspectives on that?
Okay, well, I agree with the majority of what you've said, and briefly, I'm going to briefly also, if I were going to, first of all, the super psychics, the only thing that I would really say about that is I think that's kind of a misleading term, and to me, that just represents those children without having to put a label. And that seems to be the label. But the only thing that I get about those children is, one, children that are born that have no fear and no hesitation in expressing anything spiritual. For example, we know that a lot of us adults, but especially children that are born and remember a past life. They remember their death. They remember details. There was even a show. To me, that would be, if there was going to be a super psychic, it wouldn't be that they have super psychic abilities. It would just be that they don't recognize or pay attention to the society's rules or this is real and this isn't real and you can do this, which in general, you know, kids, the monster in my closet or under my bed, and they outgrow that. And so for a while. So as far as indigo, I believe that indigo children have been a part of the generation probably since the dawn of humanity. And I really liked what you said, because I very much resonate and agree with that, which is we have been in a spiritual movement we are always, but it's really started to really take hold and to move us from this over-government, overruled, and I don't want to get political, but just the fact that there is so much in the world that is set about abiding by rules and control, authority. And so I believe that the indigos are coming, incarnating progressively faster, because the world is shifting. And I have to mention the weather, because if you've listened to anything that I've said or you've read anything that I've written, you know that my guides are extreme, very firm believers that the weather is directly related to our universal collective spiritual lessons and where we're headed. And one of the reasons why is because the weather makes us pay attention. If you have a tornado in your town or an earthquake, you're not worrying about, hey, am I going to get, my favorite hamburger tonight? You're worried about, other things, spiritual things. People start coming together. So I do feel that these children, the indigo children, I think they were the first. I agree with you there. And they have been here the longest. And I feel that they are coming in droves, if you will, because as we reform, as spiritually we reform, and the world starts to get back to nature, worrying about the earth, the planet, worrying about our spiritual being, our spiritual connection, worrying about more humanitarian views. You know, if you look back to 100 years ago, and or even further back, and Farmer Joe had broke his leg, he didn't have to pay somebody to come and do the crops. The neighbors or the church or whatever. I mean, that was something. Everyone was very connected, not just spiritually on the grid, but very, very connected to the needs of others, and everything was about sharing and giving. So that's where we're headed. Well, in order to head that way, we are going to need those that resonate with that type of mentality, spirituality, and to be able to, rather than be in utter chaos, that we have to have some form of a spiritual group that is able to balance out as we transition into what I see as the new world. And when I say the new world, I don't really have a timeline, although I don't see that the whole world is going to change and explode the next 2 years. And I don't, I think you mentioned this, Jane, I don't see that there's going to be an end, not at least in the way that some people interpret the end, meaning the whole world is going to explode and either going to be like the movie Water World, all water, or hellfire and brimstone. I don't see that. I just think the ideologies and the patterns and the pervasive way that we've lived is going to be blown apart, and we're going to be, and it's all for the highest good. So, yes, the indigos, I feel, if you want to, in order to try to articulate it, I think we have to use terms that can be misleading. So just for the sake of trying to explain it, I would say that the indigos are more or less the foundation, the spiritual foundation in human vessels for the running or the ruling of the new world order. And when I say new world order, I mean in a very spiritual, humanitarian, connected to the earth and the good of the earth and the planet and all those things. Did that make sense?
Absolutely. And I like that you addressed the new world order as, you know, I really feel like what we are moving into is a more symbiotic type relationship with the planet, with those around us, you know, more caring. I mean, I really feel like that's where we're headed, you know, and I can't necessarily say that's going to happen in 50 years, 100 years. I just am confident that in terms of a planetary shift, that's where we're headed. Less control, and I don't mean less control in that there is no government. I mean less control in that the government will align itself up to spiritual, innate spiritual principles, whereas right now it just isn't. I want to address, Mystical and Spiritual had a question on the chat, and I think it's really important. Do you think that most indigo children also have parents that are indigo or crystal? I believe it's very common for that to happen, especially since most indigos that I know or that I've seen, you know, and interacted with, they do have either very spiritual parents or their parents are within that stream of being an indigo. Now, what I would say with the indigo is it's very, like the traits of the indigo is that they are very much the trailblazers. And so I don't necessarily feel like it has to happen that way. So metaphysical and spiritual, does that make sense to you? And then I'll let you, Maya, go ahead and address that question as well.
Okay, that's interesting because so you feel that the question was presented as are indigo children usually generational? And actually, my answer is I don't feel that to be the case. Mm-hmm. I feel that because the movement is one of a strong spiritual degree, they may be born to more open-minded, more liberated, more spiritual, more in touch with. But I actually feel that the case may be the opposite because that's where it begins. It begins
right.
by their training, and they're almost training their parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, family members. And I even think sometimes the indigo children can be misdiagnosed. They can often be seen as argumentative because they see the world so differently and they're able to see that it doesn't matter. So they don't bother with what they see as foolishness. But to us, we're still in that pattern of, well, yeah, but this is the rule and this is how you have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and I think that, you know, a lot of it, with these groupings too, a lot of misdiagnoses of ADHD, ADD, you know, those types of things are probably not always. I don't know that I would necessarily say always, but a lot of times we'll be diagnosed with those types of ailments.
Well, and I feel that
and
they
autism
are.
Too.
I think I know what you're going to say, but go ahead, James.
Oh no, that was it. That's what I was going to say about that.
Well, and what I was going to say is I also feel that whether we're talking indigo, crystal, rainbow, star, star seeds, some people call them. I mean, star seeds are, I think, just a little bit different, but the rest of them have very similar qualities. And I think all of them, based on what we have as intelligence tests at this time, I think many of them are very high in intelligence, extremely
right.
high, because their DNA has been shifted. So And I don't like to use the word normal versus, because that the opposite of that is abnormal. But let's say that the majority of us are of average, you know, average intelligence. And again, that's based on a scale that we have created. So who's to say how accurate that is? But I feel that they are of a higher IQ when tested on standardized testing. So that's just one thing that I thought I would bring up, that's often the case, and that's often why they become labeled. And yes, I agree. There's certainly true diseases and syndromes and so on that occur. And I want to hear, because I have a feeling about the autism and some of the other what they consider the childhood disorders. What were you going to say about the autistic child?
Well, you know, since the evolution of our planet right now is related to consciousness, I really truly believe that that is why we're seeing more autism and things of that nature. And in fact, when we go into the crystal children, a lot of crystal children are being being diagnosed as autistic simply because, you know, they advance differently than we do. They've incarnated on the planet to be of a different consciousness level. And when you were talking about high IQs, I totally agree with that. And I really, again, believe that that is because our evolution, what's taking place on a planetary level, is an evolution of consciousness. I do want to go into crystal children. Crystal children began incarnating in the 2000s. From not only just what I read, but that it feels right to me. And I want to let you know, like, I did have to research a lot of this stuff, but, you know, I'm kind of just giving you, because there's a lot of information out there. And I'll tell you, a lot of it, you know, trust your gut on what you're getting from the information out there, because some of it I was just like, that doesn't really feel right to me. That doesn't, you know, and I would ask my guides about it, and it just didn't really resonate with me. But with the crystal children, incarnating in the 2000s, what was really cool about reading about the crystal children and kind of researching that is it is so clear to me. I know two crystal children. They're both, you know, young, in that one is 7 and one is 9, and one of them is my nephew, and I have lots of nieces and nephew, and beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know for certain he fits all of the qualities of crystal children. They're very, just here are some of the qualities. They're very even-tempered. They forgive very easily, and they're usually very easygoing. And they are coming after the indigo children to create a safer space and more secure space for the world. And if you remember when I was talking about the indigo children are usually they're the trailblazers. So they can come across as being a little abrasive sometimes. And that's because that's what needs to occur for our planetary consciousness to change. And so the crystal children, their energy is a lot more subtle, and it's more loving. I mean, almost like radiating love. To me, the crystal children are like the sages and the gurus, bringing wisdom to this planet so that we can, you know, restructure the planet in such a way that it is, that we're not hurting the planet, that we're bringing healing to the planet. And I feel like that's why the crystal children are here. To reconnect us to the earth. Crystal children are very connected to the earth, and they are here to help us reconnect to the earth. So with crystal children, you'll probably see them outside a lot. Another thing with crystal children, I actually didn't have it on my notes, but they are very, a lot of times they don't begin to speak at an early age, and it's because they're more intuitively connected. And a lot of parents will recognize that they communicate very effectively without language, which is why many crystal children are identified as autistic. It's because they, you know, their patterns of speech and their patterns, I really want to say this, their patterns of communication are profoundly different because they communicate from a different space, and it's that space of love and peace. They usually aren't afraid of many things. Even though, you know, they're very quiet, they just believe in security. They have that faith connection for security and move forward in that way. Do you have any insight into crystal children?
Well, I pretty much do agree with you. I feel that just like in any influences we have in life, in any way, shape, or form, find a way of balancing. And I agree that the Indigo children can be, I've had some personal experiences, and I feel that they can be oftentimes seen as defiant and trailblazers. I think that's a very good phrase for that. And because they see beyond, and if they know and they have a very deep wisdom about them, that's just part of their spiritual essence or energy. And so they can be very argumentative, but they're actually correct, even though I'm not suggesting that it's fun to argue with one. However, they actually are correct. I know, yeah. Because they see beyond, they see that there is so much uselessness and so much all this reform and all this new memorizations of things that doesn't matter. They tend to live very much in the present, and sometimes they are creative. And so with crystal children, they are more, I agree, they have a much softer energy, and part of their job is to work in, this is what I feel, again, this is just my take on it and what my guides have shared with me and what resonates truly with me. And I loved what you brought up, because just like I feel, I'm a very strong supporter of counseling and psychiatry, because I think that many of us can use that as a tool to reach a happier state and a better life. However, every time a new diagnosis comes up, it's like every psychiatrist says, oh, you've got this. So be really careful reading, because I think there's a lot of erroneous information out there. And the internet, that's the joke. Well, I Googled it, or I got it off the internet. It has to be true. Well, no, not really. So be careful before you label anything, and make sure, like James said, that it resonates with you. And so the crystal children, they're about peace. And it's, to me, they're a little bit of a conflict. They have a softness about them. They can appear a bit as eccentric and odd, but the interesting thing that I feel is that they are not the type to be bullied. There is something protective about their energy, so that even though they may appear odd, they still have some type of attraction to them that keeps them from being bullied or picked on. And they are okay with being alone, and they're okay with being in a group. And I agree that their communication is different. I believe that they are very much into nature and very concerned with things that, like the ozone layer and smog. And even at an early age, they may surprise you, and they may not speak as far as verbal communication early, but they are likely to learn to read and to have a perception and understanding of adult concepts, even though they don't articulate it. It may not be until later, or you may come across a drawing that they've done and think, oh my goodness, the drawing depicts knowledge that they had never verbally expressed. So they are very attuned to nature, and there's something about, I think each of them have different auras, and those auras, just like I believe our auras can change when we're ill, when we're happy, when we're going through life transitions. But with crystal children, or those that will soon be becoming older and into adults, there is a softness, but it's not a vulnerable softness, if that makes sense. It's more of an inviting softness. You look into their eyes, and there is just something almost comforting. It's almost as if they are telepathically, or they are touching your soul. I don't know if you feel that or not, but I feel that they, again, and they may be a little odd in because they're not concerned with following fads or crowds, where in contrast, I think that indigos can be that way, and they can all indigos can almost appear to be to have entitlement issues, but it's just deeper than that, so it's hard for many of us to understand. But do you feel that at all, James? That with the crystal children, they do you know what I'm saying? Trying to articulate about that soft energy?
I think. Absolutely, yes. Well, because it's very healing energy. They are here to remind us that we are a part of the earth. I mean, it's not. Look at if you're sitting by a window, look outside. It is not a surprise that we are connected to the earth, but most people don't realize it on a regular basis. They don't realize that that we are a part of what's going on. On the planet. We are a part of the planet. And that's what they're reminding us of. And I loved what you said about the sense of entitlement, because I agree with crystal children that they do kind of carry that. And it's because, and this is the reason why, because they are here to help us connect our energy back to the planet's energy. They understand that they are supposed to be here. And that's why they have a sense of entitlement. They know they're supposed to be here. They know that they're supposed to be connected to this planet, and that they are, that they have a reason to be here, and that's part of their healing journey, not just for them, but for those around them. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. They know that their purpose is above and beyond just their own lives and their family's life. They know that we all are connected universally, but they know that they have a greater purpose. And also my guides have shared with me as we've been talking that many of the crystal children are going to become, they're young now, most of them, not all, but most, the majority are fairly young now, but they are going to be the future doctors, whereas if you go back to, let's say, doctors that are between 40 and 60, their basis, although some of them are honorable, I don't want to disrespect physicians or anyone in that field whatsoever. It was based more on education and thirst for knowledge, where the crystal children will have a greater spiritual purpose, and so they will be given the ability or whatever needs they may require in order to become the healers, which in our world someday we may be to the point where we don't need all of this degree and, we have to work a 48-hour shift or whatever. But I don't know if you've given that any thought, but I do feel that the crystal children are going to be many of the doctors, the healers, the surgeons, the nurses of the future.
Right, right. That's probably very true. You're right, I haven't given that much thought, but that makes a lot of sense. Because a lot of, and I want to let everyone know, this is my own perspective from my own spiritual path and what I believe, but I feel as though most dis-ease that we experience in our body is because we are not present with our own environment and the planet. That dis-ease is not all of it, but much of it is caused because of how disconnected we are on a planetary level to what's really going on around us. so many people, you know, I work with a lot of clients, so many of my clients, they're, you know, they'll get stuck and they'll be, you know, watching TV, or they'll be, you know, they'll get stuck in this mindset that media is reality. And yet they're so disconnected from when they go outside to the tree that's in their own front yard. And I feel as though it's that disconnection that tends to propagate disease in the body. And so that makes a lot of sense to me, that crystal children and rainbow children would, you know, become the next medical practitioners, because they are, you know, because they are here to help us reconnect to the earth. Does that make,
Right, because they have that brings me back to the weather. Now, I'm in Northwest Arkansas in the U.S., so I know that we're all from different countries in different parts of the world. But we have had, in the general, you know, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, the general area that I live in, we have had terrible tornadoes. We lost complete power last night. And what I believe is that this is part of, for those of us, just like you said, you worded it very well, and it's so true, we don't even notice nature, and we don't see it. We see it as inanimate objects. And I've written a lot about crystals and gemstones, which are alive. They're living.
Mm-hmm.
They're living beings with powers. I know that's just a little bit off topic. However, it's really not, because our reconnection to the earth, I believe that these weather patterns, and if you look at the last 3 to 4 years of weather patterns, I mean, it has just been, in all countries, there has just been all these major weather events that, and I believe that those are enlightenment opportunities, because you can't really walk through a town that has just been destroyed by a tornado, or like, I mean, we all know about Katrina, things like that. There's no way that you can live through that type of experience and either just completely disconnect from everything or reconnect completely to the value of Mother Nature, not just in its ability to produce storms, but like you said, just little things. Like we have these little wild strawberries. They're like miniature strawberries, and they're just amazing to us. They're in our yard, in our grass. We've never planted strawberries. We don't know where they've come from. But, and not that I go around and say, oh, isn't this great? But that's just an example of being attuned to and noticing the buds on the trees and the amazing wonders of this world. So yes, I believe that definitely these children and these spiritual beings are helping us to reconnect, and that having lost that connection, so many people having lost that and just tuned into the media, which is just propaganda for the most part, has really taken a toll on our collective spiritual centers.
Right. So yeah, and I would recommend anyone. I mean, if you, because I want to express this. I think this is very important. You brought it up at the very beginning, that we are all special and we are all supposed to be here. The reason why these people are incarnating is to remind us of that. Remind us, yes, not just of. I want to go into a little bit of the rainbow children, but to remind us that first of all, we don't have to allow things like media and things like government and to dictate our reality and to really separate us from our reality. Because, I mean, to want to, and I see this a lot, like all of the quote-unquote weeds out there, people are wanting to get weeds out of their yard. And I'm like, yeah, and I kind of can understand it from an aesthetic viewpoint, but we really are, like, why would we want to kill nature? You know, it makes no sense to me on why we would want to, you know, destroy that which was created perfect. And I know that's, you know, I go outside and what I see is things like medicine, but I practice herbalism. I see medicine. I see food. I see, you know, that's, and we have this concept that, nature isn't a part of our reality because we have all of these manufactured foods. I mean, that to me is one of the most ridiculous concepts on the planet. Food isn't manufactured, it's grown. You know, like a food manufacturer, it's like, what? Where does that come from? But anyway, I do want to bring up Rainbow Children because I think that this is important, and this is post-2000s, probably, maybe 5-10 years ago, the Rainbow Children have started. And I really do, I mean, I resonated with this so much, even though I have not yet to meet someone who fits this category. But they're, you know, what I've read is that they were children of the crystal children. Now, I'm not certain that that's always the case, but that's one of the things I did read about them that kind of I jotted down. They, to me, when I was reading about them, they are like Christ consciousness manifesting on this planet again, but on a much larger scale than what has happened in the past. And by the way, we can all reach Christ consciousness, through or Buddha, you know, meditation. I mean, the Buddha nature, all of those, all of what we consider enlightenment is certainly available to all these people. I want you to know that just because, you know, these are certain characteristics that are manifesting on this planet, all this stuff is available to you right now. You don't have to wait for something else to happen. But with the Rainbow Children, it's like a bunch of Jesuses on the planet or a bunch of Buddhas on the planet, bringing us into a state of even greater alignment, not just with the earth, but with each other as well. Jesus talked about things like love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. There is Deepak Chopra and the Chopra Center for Healing has studied how the happiness of the people, like if we have one happy friend, our happiness increases by 16%. If they have a happy friend, it increases another 10%. And the reason why Jesus talked about blessing our enemies is because once the consciousness level of humanity goes from, you know, being at odds with each other to love, I want my enemies to be happy. Because guess what? If my enemies are happy, they're not coming after me. And that will increase the consciousness of our whole planet. And how I think that that's really what the Rainbow Children are all about, is to recognize just how interconnected we are. A lot of people, when it comes to Christianity or Christ consciousness, it's all about recognizing that this is all one thing, that we are all one. Jesus said, prayed that, you know, we would be one just as Him and the Father are one. And that's what that reality that is to come is. And like I said, I don't know when this is going to take place. I feel like it's going to take place soon. Within the next 30 to 50 years, I would not be surprised in seeing this. I believe that a lot of the ancient prophecies about, you know, Jesus coming back or, you know, the full enlightenment of humanity in Buddhism, I believe that that is what this is referring to. I don't necessarily, it may be true that Jesus is going to come back in a physical body. I honestly don't know, but I do, what I feel more so is that Christ consciousness is going to bloom on the planet, and that healing will just be a natural state. Whereas, you know, you have the crystal children, which are certainly leading us into that, where we understand that we're an integral part of the earth. And then the Rainbow Children take it a little bit further, where we are an integral part of each other, that we all exist and cohabitate this planet as one and not as a bunch of separate entities and beings. So that's what I have to say about Rainbow Children. I don't know. Do you have a perspective on that?
I do. I think it's somewhat similar to yours, but I maybe would word it different. We might use the same word, conscience. But I'm not sure that we mean it the same. And what I see about Rainbow Children is that they are the conscience of the past and the potential of the future. So their job or purpose, if you will, is to bring up all those persons that are not indigo or crystal, those of us that have lived in complacency or without being accountable for the things that we did, even if I didn't personally contribute to the smog or I didn't personally do the, you know, whatever it's called, the big oil spill. you know, even though I was not personally, we each had a hand in what the earth has become and what we have become collectively. So the way that I see the rainbow children, and the reason why I think they're called rainbow, you know, we've all heard the saying, the pot of gold is at the end of the rainbow. Well, the rainbow children, I feel, carry our conscience for us, and it's not in any way to punish us or to make us feel bad. It is to enlighten us so that the more of us, the more people that can become conscious and have a conscience of how each choice and each of us, and even if we're not, okay, even if I didn't litter the street, that doesn't mean that I can't pick up the garbage that I see right in front of me. So that's what I feel kind of with Rainbow Children is their job. But then they also, because they do carry a bit of a burden, because they are our conscience, so to speak, and they're helping us to all redeem ourselves in that sense, but they also are the ones to lead us to the amazing rewards that once we are able to accept, you know, our conscience and how our choices collectively and individually led to some of these things that were off the spiritual path, they are also the ones to show us that rainbow, to show us that, you know, once we can cross over to that point, then the rewards and the potential and the enlightenment and the ascension of our spiritual self and our energy is realized fully and completely, which is, you know, a euphoric state of grace. To me, almost, you would almost liken it to what it's like to be in spirit without being tied as a human being, although we're still going to be on earth. So that's my take on the rainbow children. So I see them as just now really, really starting. Again, there's some that are born, but I feel like the majority of them are between 2 to 5 years of age, and that over the next 15 years, there's going to be quite an influx because it's the indigos are the trailblazers. The crystals are the ones to help balance and bring us back into touch. And then the rainbow, they're kind of the last ones. They're taking the last journey. And by last journey, I'm not implying death. I'm implying only death of a way of life and rebirth of a new way of life. And I know that we're just about out of time. So I'm not sure that there's – I'll go ahead and hand it to you, James, but that's what I see about rainbow. I think they have, I think in a sense they have a heavy burden, but they also know that with that burden, it's just like, you know, having to maybe perhaps give someone bad news, but then you also get to give them the good news that after, you know, okay, I'm going to have to give you, the doctor says, I'm going to have to give you a shot, and that's going to hurt. But after I give you this shot, all your allergies are going to disappear, and they're never going to come back. I mean, I know that's kind of silly, but just as an example. So the rainbow children carry a burden, but they're also gifted with being able to see that glimmer come back to us as, again, collectively and universally. So they're very special, I feel.
Yeah. And I believe that the rainbow children are bringing us into oneness. I mean, we have lost touch. Part of, you know, we're on this planet, part of what we have lost is that what I do has a profound impact on you, and it has a profound impact on the planet itself. And what you were saying about weather, and Natalie, is there a way we can extend the time just a few minutes? Because I did want to say this.
Yeah, we can. I mean, I can't. You can keep talking. I just have to. I don't think I can change the amount of time we're allowed, but I can try. Hold on. But yeah, go keep talking. It's just that
okay.
We won't.
Okay.
Oh, I think they're going to allow me. Hold on. Go ahead. Keep talking. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So what I was saying is, what you were talking a lot about weather patterns, and I really feel as though the weather patterns that are taking place in the planet that are chaotic are a direct result of the chaotic nature of how we treat each other. They're a result of that. They're a result of us harboring things like anger and resentment and, our unwillingness to forgive. And what I truly believe, and I want to let everyone know that these are just, they're beautiful expressions of the reality that is going to take place, but I don't want anyone who's listening to this to wait for something to happen. These things are available to you right now. Love is available to you right now, and you can have a powerful impact on the planet simply by making choices that are conducive to love and harmony right now. One of the commandments of Jesus is love your neighbor as yourself. And I think that that's a very profound statement that brings us to this point of oneness. And that's really where, of course, the planet is heading that way. But we can certainly work as a catalyst to get it there simply by, doing things like meditate, find a centering practice, learn to love. Those are the things that are most important. And, of course, it's wonderful. It's fun to know about crystal children and indigo and rainbow. But know, too, that your choices today have a profound impact on the direction that the planet is going. And I just wanted to say I love you all. Thank you so much for listening in. It's been a pleasure. And I hope you have a wonderful evening. I'm going to pass it to Maya for her final thoughts.
Well, thanks, James. This has been a great, as usual, great conversation. And I totally support. And although I do believe in the Christian God, for those of you that don't have that specific belief, irregardless, we're all connected because we're spiritual beings. So no matter what your personal belief system is or what your practices are, I agree and I support everything that James said, that we each can make a difference, and that is just by showing love, and first and foremost, love for ourselves, and showing gratitude. While we can certainly look around, I know that I can look around and say, well, her house is bigger and his car is newer, but I can also say that person has no home, and I have a great home, and I have a family, or we may have friends. So I think it all starts, I agree with James, we don't have to sit and wait, and we don't have to buy into the media and all the negativity. We can emit positive energy, and that's just the intention that all of us, that we intend that all of us find peace and happiness within, love ourselves, and then let that love flow to the next person. Because just like a river flows, love flows too. And anything that is given first to self is always then given to others. And anything given to others, they say what we give and what we send will be returned to us times 10. And I believe regardless of our religious background, regardless of where we started or what we've done, we are forgiven for all of that, and each new day is the potential to do something different, to reconnect. And so I send blessings to all and hope that we all can rise to the occasion in whatever manner or way we're able to, and we do make a difference. It's like, the voting thing, that one vote makes a difference. We're all very special, as James said. That's true. And we do make a difference. One little thing, one smile, one gesture of kindness, even to ourselves, makes us feel better. And so with that being said, this was a great topic. I really enjoyed it. Very fascinating stuff. And I want to thank everyone all. Bless you all. And thank you all for listening. And you'll find us here next Monday. We'll be here again with something definitely interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. What are we talking about next week? Do we know?
I don't have anything. Well, we have the only thing left is toxic influences. We really probably need to get together, and
okay.
Or you guys can send me, I'm saying? We'll set up a meeting or something. maybe that'll be good, right?
Lovely.
Okay, well, yeah, we know it's going to be great. So everybody, listeners, you know, no matter what we talk about, it's going to be great. Much love to everyone, and thanks, and I hope everybody enjoys the rest of their evening.
Okay, and with that, we ran over, but that's fine. I was able to extend it, so it's still all being recorded. And I hope everybody enjoyed the show. Thanks to our Priestess Candy, Stars Priestess Candy, Stars Aeneas was in there, our Stars James was in there. We had some really nice guests in there. I was noticing that all they really, really enjoyed the show. Come back next Monday night at 7 o'clock, and we'll be here, and there'll be an advance notice on Blog Talk Radio what it's going to be about. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. I love you, Maya and James and Candy. I'm
love
so
you
blessed.
Too.
I really, really am. And everybody have a really nice evening, and much love to all of you. Good night.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.